Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Webb or StuWebb.com, and it is Saturday, June the 6th, 2020, and I have the honor to have Professor James Fetcher, a known whistleblower on Sandy Hook, and deserves the credit for that as a whistleblower, an ex-Marine Corps captain, and we're going to do a short show here this morning, and he's bringing you up to date on what the latest is. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, Stu, the situation, in my opinion, has grown increasingly ominous. It may be that it's not going to be as bad as expected, but there were threats of a million protesters descending on Washington, D.C. today. And it appears to me that many military, particularly former officials in the Department of Defense, are betraying the nation by opposing Trump's desire to use the military to quell an insurrection. You had James Mattis leading the way, denouncing Trump and describing him as a threat to the Constitution. What does he think these looters are doing, destroying property, killing lives, wanting to take out the police departments, even calling for defunding? I mean, they want to turn this into chaos and anarchy where it's every man for himself and all we have is vigilante justice. I don't think the outcome is going to be very positive when we have 100 million armed Americans that don't want to put up with this nonsense. Meanwhile, we have more generals denouncing Trump's protest crackdown plan, which is highly appropriate to use the military. We have 89 former defense officials saying they're alarmed by Trump's threat to use the military to end the nationwide unrest. Let me read a part of this report. Numerous former defense officials strongly spoke out against President Donald Trump's militaristic response to nationwide protests, condemning the president in one voice and urging him to end his threat to use the military to quell unrest. In an op-ed published, guess where, the Washington Post Friday, Trump continues to use inflammatory language as many Americans protest the unlawful death of George Floyd and the unjust treatment of black Americans by our justice system, arguing the president's rhetoric has become more aggressive as the protests have grown. The Post 89 authors, former defense officials, including Leon Panetta, Chuck Hagel, Ashton Carter, and William Cohen, called Trump's pledge to send U.S. military into American cities to respond to unrest shocking. They had called attention to some of the developments that followed Trump's remarks Monday, specifically military helicopters flying low over protesters in a show of force, used to disperse enemy combatants overseas, and the use of forceful tactics by law enforcement to drive away peaceful protesters, they're calling. Well, these people aren't peaceful. Meanwhile, we have 1 million unhinged leftists expected to attend protests in D.C. this weekend where the crackpot mayor has evicted all National Guard units, even Tom Fitton, who's as reasonable a man in the world now, the head of Judicial Watch, tweets, criminal left runs amok in Washington, D.C. as leftist mayor continues to suppress law-abiding with tyrannical shutdown restrictions. The protests then headed to the front of the White House. A protester was taken by the Secret Service in front of Pennsylvania Avenue into an adjacent federal building. Meanwhile, we have several hundred more active duty troops ordered to leave Washington, D.C. on the basis of we have had four peaceful days in a row, said the Army Secretary Ryan McCarthy. Meanwhile, you got a New York politician, get this, Buffalo City Councilman Rashid N.C. Wyatt, live stream a call for rioters to loot and destroy communities that aren't their own. The politician said the only reason Martin Luther King was anti-violence is because black people didn't have enough guns. Wyatt appeared to be not so subtly implying that the violent mob should go into white neighborhoods. Stu, I fear for the future of this nation.
I do too. Now, which mayor was it that called for violence? The Washington, D.C. mayor, or which one?
No, she didn't call for violence. She evicted the National Guard units who were there to protect the city and to oppose the violent protests.
You know, 2 days ago, they were out chanting outside the White House they wanted to kill Trump, something about killing Trump.
Yes.
I said, oh, my God. Can you believe this? Now, here's what we have, Jim. From my perspective of analyzing this whole thing, and with others. We have the Hail the Beast group, Hillary Clinton, which is Soros-backed, Biden-backed, Soros-backed, is behind this crap. She made a statement yesterday, we only have 152 days to get our country back or something like that. In other words, burn it down. She intends on being part of a new administration. It's not going to happen. There's two kinds of protesters out there. There's one that are Americans. They're black. They're white. They're Hispanic. They're everything. They're tired of police brutality, all the other stuff that goes on. Now, they want justice. There's no justice. You've experienced it. I've experienced it. You tried to do it with Sandy Hook and bring it to light. I've done it with, you know, various scandals. It didn't happen. Instead, I got pounced on. You got pounced on. I got jailed. You got beat up in court. All the other crap, which is, there's no justice. Now, I support those people that are in the streets, not the ones burning. The ones during the day are pretty much peaceful, chanting, yelling and screaming, making their demands known. The ones coming out at night around 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock when it's dark that are rioting, looting, and shooting. I mean, rioting, looting, and burning. I say, if the United States of America can't solve the problem, I'll call the arms, the militia in this country, to go shoot them in the ass and in the legs to put a stop to them at night when they're doing this, if it's necessary. If the country can't solve itself, as far as our public officials doing their job, it is time for us as Americans to stand up and put a halt to the violence. Now,
Stu, I was watching the protest in front of the Lincoln Memorial, and it appeared to this point to be relatively peaceful. I don't think that's a problem yet. I'm just very worried that when you remove the military that would be available to defend the White House, when you have a lunatic mayor who's doing everything she can to promote it, who would keep them from actually tearing down the fence and invading the White House itself? I'm profoundly disturbed. Meanwhile, there are parallels with Arab Spring and how the CIA fomented events abroad. We have ISIS celebrating Black Lives Matter protests in the hope they will weaken the West. Get this. Terrorist group ISIS has celebrated Black Lives Matter protests and riots taking place in multiple major cities, gleefully hoping they will serve to weaken the West. Numerous major American cities have been rocked by civil unrest over the past 10 days, with riots claiming 17 lives. Other cities in Europe, Canada, and Australia have also been hit with violent protests. ISIS has commented for the first time on the protests across the U.S. over the death of George Floyd, commented jihad specialist Mina Al-Lemi. In its paper, Al-Naba, ISIS said the civil unrest cannot be seen as a problem for the U.S. alone and that other infidel countries should brace themselves for the repercussions. It compared the potential spread of the unrest across Western companies to the spread of COVID-19 in the West. ISIS gleefully reported on the protests, hoping together with the coronavirus they would weaken the West and distract its countries from meddling in Muslim affairs. All this, alas, goes back to 2012 when Obama nullified the Smith-Mutt Act and legalized the use of propaganda on the U.S. public. This was back in May, reported May 21st by Business Week already, that the newest version of the National Defense Authorization Act includes an amendment that would legalize the use of propaganda on the American public. Reported Michael Hastings of BuzzFeed, the amendment proposed by Mac Thornberry, Republican of Texas, and Adam Smith, Democrat of Washington, passed in the House Friday, would effectively nullify the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which explicitly forbids information and psychological operations aimed at influencing U.S. public opinion. And we've had a floodgate opened thereby. It turned out that Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, even Las Vegas were all staged events that were legal within the framework of the nullification of the Smith-Mundt Act. Moreover, Stu, we now know that in 2012, the very same year, that the judicial watch explained how formerly classified documents obtained from the U.S. Department of Defense and State Department through a predicate federal lawsuit revealed that Hillary Clinton, then Secretary of State, Barack Obama, then President, and John Brennan, the director of the CIA, created ISIS in 2012 to bring pressure on the Syrian government and eventually confront the Persian nation of Iran. We have many former army working with ISIS where they haven't even bothered to cover their tattoos. Stu, I'm sorry to say Barack Obama paved the way for all the events taking place today.
I would say so. And I did have a video at one time. They took it down. Someone parked it up there that was a spook. And it was on my site showing that Barack Obama was inside the Pentagon talking to top generals, one of them, and colonels and captains. One of them recorded him, and he didn't know it. Okay, and I had it on my site. We're training and funding ISIS, is what he said. Now, this was, God, I don't know how many years back it's been. I mean, we know this stuff, Jim, and it's a good point that you brought up about this. Here's the problem that we need to be doing as Americans, okay? Let's look at some facts about COVID. The German prime minister comes out and says it's all a hoax. The prime minister of Italy said that for 6 weeks he'd been trying to contact CDC and Fauci and all this and warned the government that, and it was this past week he said this, that it was a bacterial form that came out of that lab in China. It had bacteria in it. All you need is an antibiotic and an aspirin. He's been trying to tell them that. They cured everybody of their problem. Now, I find something interesting. I have a father in a nursing home. I'm talking to him a couple of days ago. They're telling me, I'm telling them about Snap's tonic water. And the gal tells me for a month they've been giving all the patients tonic water, a little bit each day. It's called quinine on the back of it, or hydro something quinine. They've been giving their own brand to patients. And it was ordered by the state of Missouri, apparently, to give all of them in nursing homes a little bit of quinine every day. And they're doing it, which is the cure for the COVID virus. Things are happening behind the scenes that people don't know about, but here's the point. For a mayor, if I were in Washington, D.C., lived in that district, and that mayor said that, I would immediately go in and arrest her. We have the right to citizens arrest folks, arrest her for making her comments to create more violence. Get her out. Not to put the troops to protect the city. Get her out. Recall is an effective way, but I believe citizens
are black. Stu. Washington, D.C. is 90% black. They like this mayor. There's not going to be any way to recall her. What we got going on is, fomenting all kinds of protests. As long as it remains peaceful, I have no problem with it. She closed Pennsylvania Avenue all the way from the White House to the Capitol and had it repainted Black Lives Matter on the pavement. Now, that's okay as a peaceful protest, but I'm very, very worried if a violent mob heads toward the White House. Let us hope to God it doesn't happen, because here's what's going on in the background, Stu. Rasmussen, black approval for Trump surges to over 40%. Confounding the media's effort to blame him for the riots. That's because they know he's been working to improve the lives of black Americans. The surging economy of the past has benefited them. Lowest wages have been rising at the highest rate. Clamping down on immigration coming across the border has kept them secure from losing their jobs. Workers who are willing to accept even lower pay, he's cut it off. They know he's doing the right thing. Meanwhile, Michelle Machen has published a wonderful piece I put on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. Get up off your knees. Stu, let me share this. Dear law-abiding Americans, you have done nothing wrong. Being white is not a crime. Being a Trump voter is not a crime. Being a police officer sworn to protect and serve every day is not a crime. Being a non-white police officer proud to uphold and enforce law and order is not a crime. Being a black or brown or yellow American who rejects excuse-making for criminals is not a crime. Rejecting collective guilt is not a crime. Refusing to acknowledge white privilege when you were born poor or in a broken home or with physical or psychological challenges is not a crime. embracing the historic American nation instead of erasing it is not a crime. Enforcing your private property rights is not a crime. Teaching your wife and children to use a gun in self-defense is not a crime. Owning an AR-15 or two is not a crime. Do not let the media, Hollywood, academics, or politicians gaslight you. Stop internalizing lies. Who are the criminals? Who are the heroes? Who are the makers and keepers of peace? Who are the sellers and reapers of hate? The Proud Boys who have guarded their communities and country for the past 3 years were lone citizen soldiers in the battle against Antifa that no one else on the ground wanted to fight. The group and its leader, Gavin McInnes, have suffered greatly for trying to stop the violence now raging nationwide. McInnes has been deplatformed everywhere and falsely labeled a white supremacist. Scores of Proud Boys of all colors have lost their jobs after being doxxed by Antifa vigilantes. Two Proud Boys are in prison, railroaded by New York Democrats after a Koska F trial, which the cop-hating Antifa victims, who lured the Proud Boys into an October 2018 street brawl, refused to press charges or testify. Their crime? These unapologetic Americans stood on their feet, not on their knees. Working-class Irish, German, and Polish-American men of Fishtown, a northeast Philadelphia suburb, came together this week to prevent their neighborhood from being pillaged and burned in the name of social justice, like the rest of the city of brotherly riots. They banded together outside the 26th police precinct, armed with bats and golf clubs, and faced down Black Lives Matter protesters who were there to taunt and provoke the cops. Turn off CNN. Tune in to the facts on the ground. At least 25 Philadelphia cops have been hurt during mob violence this week. It's an all-out war on the thin blue line. At least 150 cops have been assaulted, four nearly murdered in New York City as of Tuesday afternoon. Two Buffalo, New York LEOs were run over late Monday night. In addition, 51 members of the U.S. Park Police were injured. A Cincinnati cop grazed by a bullet aimed at his head. Fourth St. Louis officer shot, one retired St. Louis police captain killed, a Las Vegas Metro cop shot, and a federal officer shot and killed in Oakland, all in the name of peace, tolerance, and reparations. Yet again, this bloody and retributive backdrop, Democrat leaders in Philadelphia have coddled looters all week, condemned the peacekeeping Fishtown Brigade as a mob of vigilantes. Their crime? Standing tall on their feet, not on their knees. Scott Mendelson, a world record-holding power lifter, protected his Southern California gym on Monday afternoon. If you're going to destroy something that somebody worked so hard to build, well, you know what? Maybe you should be put down, he told Fox 11 in L.A. You walk through my door, you threaten my life, I'm aiming for the head. Mendelson's crime, standing muscle-bound and honor-bound on his feet, not on his knees. Proud and good people hold their chins and guns up in a crisis. It's how Korean grocers responded when the police abandoned them during the Los Angeles riots in 1992. It's how armed small business owners of all colors are now facing an onslaught of crazed, greedy, and evil barbarians hell-bent on destroying every enforcement bulwark that protects our civil society, from the borders to our neighborhoods to the White House. Weakness is not strength. Confessing sins for which you bear no guilt is not noble. It makes me sick to my stomach to see virtue-signaling police chiefs kneeling before barking rioters, calling them pigs. I am nauseated at the sight of sobbing white people groveling for forgiveness before sadistic Black Lives Matter demagogues, as if this will appease the unappeasable. It will not and never will. America, strengthen your spines, unbow your heads. No home or nation was ever saved by kowtowing to invaders or ransackers. Unless you are praying to God, get up off your knees. One final image. Stu, here's Donald Trump looking at you, saying, in reality, they're not after me, they're after you. I'm just in the way.
That's right. Now, I've got a picture that says that on the front of my website. Now, Jim. His entire presidency has been wrecked. False dossiers, false impeachment, false COVID. Now we got the rioting and looting by Black Lives Matter, which is a terrorist organization, not the black people themselves, but the organization funded by the Soros, along with Antifa or whatever it's called, and they're violent. Someone blocks the protesters during the Trump administration, all this. What do we do? And I'll bring the question up to you straight up. As a United States former Marine captain, and me being a former corporal in the Marine Corps, I would ask a simple question. What do we need to do? All the ex-military, the roughly 23 million of us out here in America, and the patriot community, black, white, Hispanic, whatever you are, you're awake. What do we do at this point?
You hope for the best and you prepare for the worst. You stock up on ammo. You make sure your weapons are functional. You practice your marksmanship. You may have to come to the aid of the nation. We got 100 million armed Americans, too, that are the greatest source of national security this nation has ever known. If the president is unable to deal with this incredible situation, unlike that any president in our history has ever confronted, if the military back off, if they betray him, as the 89 former defense officials have betrayed him and betrayed the nation, if they are out to turn the United States into a third world country by politicizing the military and having the military decide who's president and who's not, we, as patriotic and dedicated Americans, may have to come to save the nation. That would be the last, final, all-out necessary effort. I hope it does not come to that. But if you have politicians in Buffalo, who black politicians who are encouraging the rioters to move into the suburbs and to take out white residents there, of necessity, if the police cannot handle the situation, if the military do not come to their defense, those who are in the area, the militias and others, must come to the defense of the American people. This is outrageous beyond belief. Michelle Malkin got it exactly right. Let us see what the president can do, but brace yourself, because it may ultimately come down to patriotic American citizen soldiers saving the nation, just as patriotic American citizen soldiers founded the nation, Stu. That's where we are. That's where it's at in the USA today.
That's a good summary of it. I don't know what to say, Jim. You know, I will tell, I'll put it this way. This George Floyd, folks, let's talk about his crime yet.
Stu,
he did a house invasion.
Stu, I got to go.
Jim, I thank you very much.
We really hit it, Stu. That's enough.
Okay. Have a good one, Jim. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.